Okay, so let's see how we're standing here on our number theory problems. Okay, how many people got all four done? None. How many people got all three done? The three of them done? None. How many people got two done? Okay, none. How many people got one done? One done, sort of, and no other risk moving up. Okay, it's a little disappointing. How many people got none done but tried it? Okay, and okay. So what was the sort of? Let's see, what's the one done sort of? That's sort of the question.
A heart beat away from the factory by the bridge.
What makes you think so? What makes you think so?
Because I really feel like I've got it nailed, except for, there's one obvious case that I have to figure out how to handle. I could be totally way off base, but I feel like I've got a pretty good handle on it. I just need to code one of the last things.
Okay, so
that's not the sort of. I don't count that.
Okay, yeah.
The sort of is Carmichael.
Yeah.
Carmichael numbers, I got to work, it works fine. It seems very optimized, it runs very quickly, but when I submit it in general, it says, oh, it's too slow. And I got to the point where I was like, well, I can't even see whether, am I getting the right answers or not?
I feel like I am.
Right. So I got to the point where I ran it on my computer and got all the numbers, wrote a simple program that just says, you think it is, and I'll say, yes, it's
yeah, okay, so you get it.
And then when I submit that, it says, yes, you've got the program right. Except, it took 2.5 seconds of CPU time. It's a lot. And all I'm doing is, basically, the number I marked out. I'm like, what does it give me in terms of importance? Taking 2.5 seconds.
Maybe giving you multiple examples of the same one, for example.
Right. The only thing I can think of is just giving you huge quantities of data.
Okay, so let's think about what we might be doing. What was your?
To get all of the numbers, by just iterate through, it takes a decent amount of time. It's about 5 minutes.
Okay, so let's think about a couple of issues here. One possibility here is let's think of a couple of things that might be how to do it. Yeah, I didn't mean for this to be such a, these two I meant to be doable, okay? And let's try to make it and figure out how to do these two. So the Carmichael numbers one, again, what is the goal? The problem is that we want to find what integer satisfies a to the n mod n, a, for all a between 1 and n? Is that basically what it's saying? So what is the time that this algorithm should take? Let's say if we do algorithm analysis here. Let's try to figure out how slow our algorithm actually is. So how is it that people are doing it? So we want to compute a to the n mod n for all basically a from 0 from what was it? From 1 to n minus 1?
2
to n minus 1. Okay? So what is the time complexity of the entire program? Okay, is this asking for all Carmichael numbers or what is it? It says given a number just if it's a Carmichael number. So for any given number, what is the time complexity of this?
It's a function of n. Contest this.
Yep.
Isn't
it linear? Well, let's think about what it is. You want to actually say that you're going to be trying n possible values of a.
Oh, yeah.
How much is a to the n? For any a, what is a to the n going to be?
That is big, a to the n is going to be very big.
But, wait, you're computing a to the n mod n. So how many multiplications should you be doing to compute for every possible value? N? I will argue not n. Okay, how are you computing a to the n mod n? Let's think about this. Okay, what is the time complexity of that? Well, how are you doing it? Okay.
anybody who's doing it, how are you doing it? You worry about speed, yes. So, is it a recursive algorithm that you're using, or what is it? So you're saying basically, I think, that A to the N is equal to, correct me if I'm wrong, A to the N over 2 times A to the N over 2, where 1 is the ceiling and 1 is the floor. Right? Now, you make two recursive calls here. A to the N is equal to A to the N times this times A to the N times that. How much time is that going to take? To do it in a naive way, I claim that could be linear. If that's what you're doing, you may be doing it right. Okay. How do we make sure that this takes log N time? That's really what I want to do, yeah?
I reduced it by half each time.
Right.
So basically, if I had 2 to the 10th log 10.
Yeah.
Then I said, okay, well, that's, you know, the same as
2 to the 5.
2 to the 5 and 2 to the 5. And,
right.
And I said, okay, well, 2 to the 5 is...
Compute 2 to the 5 and then multiply it by itself.
Exactly. Yeah. And the thing is that each time you can take the mod, basically, I only take the mod at the very end. You know, I can keep doing this iteratively all the way down until I basically reach a single mod.
What did you do if you had 2 to the 11?
I end up, I believe, you know, I'm looking at this from scribbled notes now, but I think I do like 2 to the 6th times 2 to the 5th, and then I can compute 1. How did I do that? Did I compute both of them or divide them both? I think I'm another thing.
Okay. Is there a way that we can do this thing, compute A to the N, in a logarithmic number of multiplications? Okay? So then what possibility is you're doing a linear number of multiplications? Okay? Now, exactly how are you doing it recursively? Do you think that you are, are you ever computing, what are you doing when you have an odd number here? Are you computing both of them? So you're doing it recursively by saying something like x sub n is equal to x sub n over 2, let's say ceiling, times x of n over, the floor of n over 2. And you make two recursive calls per procedure? Okay, well now we no longer have what I would call a logarithmic procedure. What is it? Again, I know you never necessarily take an algorithm. Where do logs come from? What is the log of n? In principle, how do you describe it?
It's 2 to the x power. So 2 to the x power equals n.
It implies that x is equal to log n. Right? That's basically the idea.
Basically, you have to divide your problem in half.
So is this dividing the problem in half, as it's being written here? And the answer is not really. It's dividing it in two halves, but doing both halves, right? That's not really cutting the problem in half each time, right? Everybody sort of see that if we don't cut the problem in half, the amount of work we're doing in half, then we're not going to get this log time. Okay? How do we provably cut this problem in half so that the time that it takes to compute the exponent, a to the n, can be done in logarithmic in n? Any ideas? Who here thinks they were doing that? Who here knows they weren't doing that? Okay. Any ideas how we might be able to? So the problem seems to be you're computing this, and you're computing that. Does this help you? Does F you computed that? Does this help you compute the answer to this? Well, what is the ceiling of N over 2? What is the floor of N over 2? What is 5 here and what is 6? Okay?
They're very close.
They're very close. So can we take advantage of the fact that they're very close to avoid making two recursive calls?
Well, yeah, they're either going to be equal or one is going to be 2 times.
Okay? So what is the procedure that you would, how would we make sure that we spend logarithmic time doing this evaluation?
If the number is odd,
yeah.
If the number is even, you just keep one of them.
Yeah.
And you know it's multiplied that much by 2. If the number is odd, then you take, you divide it by 2 did before, and you know it's that times 2, that times itself times another 2, I guess.
Okay, so something like this. You want x sub n to be, you might say that there is, if n is odd, I might say that let's say R equals 2 or equals A, this is an extra one, else R equals 1. But the key issue is here. Let's let X equal to X sub A comma floor of N over 2. I'd say that R is equal to R times X times X. Let's say mod A. A is what we're looking for, right? Mod N. Well, okay, we'll have to worry about getting the right modulus here. I mean, the right modulus may be there. Change. But what am I doing to do the computation? Let's say forget about the mod thing. Okay, let's just take a look at this. How much time is this computation going to take? I am making one recursive call and having the number, right? If it's an odd number, I have another A I've got to deal with, right? Okay, and so it's the product of the that residue times X times X. Okay, does everybody sort of see that? So my claim is that I'm half, this way at least, I mean, I don't know what's existing in your programs here. But if you do it this way, you're spending an exponential logarithmic time per evaluation. Whereas if you did it by repeated multiplication, we're spending linear time. What is the log of 64,000, base 2? 16. So that would tell me that on this problem, the difference, if you were doing it by computing A to the 64,000, it would be 64,000 multiplications versus 16, right? So this is a big win, potentially, right? So if you've got your... We're not doing it this way, that is a hit. Does everybody agree with that? Who thinks they were doing it this way or something comparable? Okay? Something to check out and see. Okay?
The part that I'm kind of worried about is the fact that I'm doing no computation. I'm doing over one computation. And I'm still just under the time limit.
Well, let's think what that might mean. So, how long should it take? Well, let's think of a couple of things. What does that likely mean?
You do no computation, it's taking so much time.
Does it usually take this much time on your submissions, or on typical submissions, it's vastly less?
Yeah, most submissions are if they're working, yeah, pretty low.
Okay, so what might be a, why might it be, how big do you think the test input can be?
Realistically, you would think it couldn't be more than, say, 65,000 numbers. There's only 65,000 possibilities.
Right. Although they could, I guess, ask the same question more than once, but
they do.
Okay. So how might we get rid of this problem if they were asking the same question more than once? We'll make it, you know, in general, sort of. Suppose let's say, well, let's try to compute it on a slate. Let's see how fast we can compute it on a slate.
Okay. I know whether a number is an R Michael number on a slate. Right now, you're telling me that we can now compute A to the N in logarithmic time. Although, are you computing this full number? What are you, how are you doing the arithmetic? Is it mod arithmetic or regular arithmetic?
The one where I'm just under the limit?
Yeah.
You're
doing no arithmetic.
I'm doing cheating. No arithmetic. I'm cheating.
In general, were people trying to do large arithmetic or doing modular arithmetic?
To do it, and I was getting to get the answers, which was relatively quickly, I was doing mod arithmetic.
Okay. So is there any questions about how you do the modular arithmetic here?
I don't know how to, I understand the concept, I just know how to apply it to determine if it's the Carmichael number without getting large numbers.
Right, so we really want to do, you're just telling us what A to the N is. What we really want to know in general is A to the N mod M, let's say. Right?
Right.
So what would we do to do this? Well, one way to do it would be to say that we could compute it X of P is, so one possibility is that we would just compute this whole number mod M and return R. Right? Okay. Why is it? Because we want to know what is the remainder of this number, A to the N, when we divide it by M, right? The important thing that we looked at last time with modular arithmetic, again, it's in the notes and in the book, and this is a quick question. How many of you guys look at the chapter at all when they're trying to solve these problems, okay? One, two, three, four. How many of you don't look at the chapter at all, to be honest, okay?
Okay, one honest figure and a bunch of liars. Okay, that's fine. Okay, but again, there's this notion here about, we mentioned it last time, and I don't want to go through, but that if we wanted to compute, we know that X times Y mod N, what does that mean? That means the remainder of X times Y mod N happens to be the same as the remainder of X mod N times the remainder of Y mod N times taken mod N. Okay? So what does that mean? Well, we could actually have done this if we wanted. X might be fairly large here, right? So maybe I'd be better off doing instead a mod N here. Also, right? You know, there's no reason why not, because somehow that if I want to win this times, this is mod N. If I'm only interested in the residue mod N at the end, I might as well have cut it down to size earlier before the multiplication, as well as after. Okay? That's really what this is saying. Okay? So this now will give me a way to compute this thing. Is there anything else that we can think of that might be another way to do this stuff? Okay? So now we're spending a logarithmic time for multiplication. Okay? We really want to speed up this search. Where's the whole global algorithm that you're using here? Let's think about this.
One thing I did to try to optimize was I figured that multiplication was probably a little bit more efficient than taking the modulus or something. And so I would allow some multiplications but then the number got too large.
Okay, the question is to make sure you cut it down before it got to be too big an integer.
Right.
Okay, right, because part of the thing is it will enable you to work with an integer that will fit in a word size. That's the big win that we have here.
Right.
But how? What's the main outer loop that you're doing now? You want to write a pseudocode for your program here. What are you doing to test A to the N if it's a Carmichael number?
First thing you have to check is it a prime?
Is it a prime? Okay. So how do you check if a number is a prime?
I just included all the primes in an array.
So how did you, you found them first?
Found them in first and just included them in an array.
So you didn't explicitly hard code those primes. You actually had a program to test what numbers were prime and stuck them in an array.
Yes. I wrote a little program. I wrote my own little program, found primes, took the algorithm from that, and stuck it in my program.
Okay, that sounds grungy. Is that necessary? How much time does it take to find all the primes from 1 to 65,000?
I didn't find it all. A couple seconds, if that.
I would argue that you should be able to dispatch that pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Okay, so I would probably not tried the grungy way of doing that just so fast.
Well, I didn't at first, but then because I kept running
into it. Well, let's think of what are the time limits. Now let's think what the time of this problem is. First of all, does it beta test if the number is a prime first, or the best if it's a Carmichael number first?
Or if it satisfies the this thing. You're saying that if it is a prime.
Yeah. Well, let's think though first. Does it pay to test the number if it's prime first, or to test if it satisfies this congruence first?
I would say it tests the first prime first.
Why is that?
Because it's very quick to check whether it's the first prime to check.
And suppose the number is prime. Doing the Carmichael test, is that going to be quick or full or slow?
Very quick, because we know it's not a Carmichael.
Wait, no. But suppose I say you go and test, does it satisfy this congruence? If it's prime.
Oh. Yeah, you have to test whether it's prime. If you're talking about...
Suppose the question of a choice here of saying, it gives you, here's integer n, is it a Carmichael number? The two considerations were, is it prime, and does it satisfy this, right?
Yeah.
Which is it important to test first? Let's think about it. Does it beta test the Carmichael number, the satisfying this recurrence for everything, or whether it's prime first? Can I claim it makes a big difference?
If it's prime, then it can't be a Carmichael number.
You know it's prime. You don't need to check whether it satisfies the A, the N, mod N.
Right, but notice that it's even worse than that, that it will satisfy this
right
for everything if it's prime, right?
So
if you don't test, if you don't test the prime this first, any prime is going to take a long, long time to rule out. Does everybody agree with that? Okay. So why might your programs be slow? Well, one is it's important to test the Carmichael, the primeness first. Okay, I would have guessed that you could afford to actually build up a list of the primes. Okay, but I know you're frustrated, so that's okay. Okay, but let's think about it now. How much time now? Now, how do we do the Carmichael test? Okay, right now, what is the time complexity of my algorithm on a Carmichael number? Okay, I am going to do this on what? For every A, it's going to take how much time? Log n time, according to this?
No, it's n log n right now. We're checking for every A.
Right now, it's n log n. there any faster way to do it?
When I worked it out, I seen the majority that you only had to check the prime numbers, although I
think you can test non-prime numbers.
Well, now it's an interesting question here. Let's think of what we have to test in order to do this. Okay? First question is, okay, do you have a proof that you'll have to test prime numbers?
Well, the other ones can all be written as just factoring on multiple of the prime numbers. And so when you, by the modular arithmetic idea, you can say, oh, okay, well, it's going to work out to be the same thing anyway. I mean, it.
So what he's saying here is he wants to now make a very bold conjecture, which might speed things up, which is you want to say that you only need to try the A's where A is composite. Is that what you're saying? Or A is prime?
I was saying where A is prime.
Okay, let's think about this. What's it saying here? I don't know if I believe you, but that's a bold answer now. Let's think about this. Okay? He wants to claim something to the effect that if you have a composite A, I don't know if I completely believe, A, let's say A is equal to X times Y. He claims that X times Y, if X times Y to the A mod N is equal to X times Y. Okay? But you want to now somehow make some kind of statement about, suppose let's say that this is not equal to that. Right? You want to claim that under that condition, either X to the N, well, let's think what this actually means. It's an interesting question. What does this mean? Okay? Suppose we have X to the N mod Y mod N. What we could do if we had factored it, that would be X to the N Y to the N mod N. Right? That's the answer here. This we agree is X to the N mod N times Y to the N mod N. Okay, mod N. Now, if it seems to me, if X to the N mod N is equal to X, N is equal to X. Okay? And, okay, Y to the N mod N is equal to Y. Isn't it clear that X times Y to the N is going to, mod N is going to be X times Y? So that seems to support what you're saying. Let's think about that. Does everybody sort of see what he's doing now? Okay? I think what he's saying, that I think I now believe, is that the only numbers that suppose, let's say, that you want to have a number that is a Carmichael number, okay, that it will be a Carmichael number if it works for all you have to really test are the prime values of A. Okay, does everybody sort of see that? Let's think about whether this is true or not, okay? I wasn't sure of that before, but now I think I believe this. Okay? Why is this? Okay? So one possibility is to note that what is the whole point here? We want to say. Suppose it's not a Carmichael number, right? Suppose we have that this thing is not a Carmichael number. Then there exists a smallest a. Then there exists a smallest a with the property that a to the n mod n is not equal to a, right? That's the disproof. If the thing is not a Carmichael number, there is a smallest number. Okay? Now, let's say that the number, that's the smallest such a. Let's now say that the smallest such a was a composite. Okay? Meaning that x times y to the n, okay, mod n is not equal to x times y, but x to the n mod n is equal to x, and y to the n mod n is equal to y. Why do we know this? Because this is the smallest such counterexample, right? If the smallest counterexample were a composite, then that would mean that for x, that for the smaller values, x times y, that x and y both had to satisfy it, right? So we know that x to the n mod n is equal to that, y to the n mod n is equal to that. Okay? What do we know that x times y mod n is going to be equal to? Well, that's got to be x times y. Okay? So now we have a much faster algorithm, don't we? Okay? Does everybody sort of see that? Okay? Well, this is an interesting proof. Okay? This is one where this is actually interesting, okay, that we know x times y, okay, we're looking for the smallest, suppose let's say something is not a Carmichael number, okay, we're trying to come up with a fast test to decide if something's a Carmichael number. If it's not a Carmichael number, we want to claim that the smallest counterexample is going to be prime, okay? Why is that? Well, suppose not. That means that there is a counterexample, meaning that there is some a such that a to the n mod n is not equal to a. Right? That means that there's a counterexample. A is the smallest counterexample. If a was not prime, then you could write that a was equal to x times y for some x and y, right? Well, because this was the smallest counterexample, we know that x to the n mod n has to be equal to x. Why is that? Because are x and y both smaller than x times y? Yes. And if this was for counting, we'd look at the counterexamples from smaller to upper. The smallest such counterexample, if the smallest such counterexample is A, then X and Y could not be counterexamples. Means they had to satisfy that, right? Okay. So if they satisfy this, then we know that X times Y, X to the N times Y to the N, is going to be equal to X times Y, which would exactly satisfy the saying.
So the contradiction.
The contradiction. So therefore it's a contradiction, and therefore the smallest such counterexample has to be a prime. Does everybody see that? That's very clever. Okay. I was also going to yell at my Spaniards for making the problem excessively hard, but now it's actually this is beautiful. Okay. Does everybody sort of see that? Okay. This is why number theory is a beautiful and amazing thing. Okay? I mean, these number theoretic proofs, we've just proven something fairly powerful and non-obvious. Okay? This is a sophisticated proof. We can all feel proud. We're adults. We understand this proof. Okay? And, you know, yet it gives us some power. Okay? So now we only have to test the primes. And to test the primes, what do we need to do? We can get away with this logarithmic, you know, time thing. Okay? So that might be a better way to do it. Okay? Any questions? Yeah.
For your algorithm, when you're calculating X, XP, A, and M, I kind of understand the modern arithmetic. I just don't understand how you're applying it to that algorithm.
Well, what is the claim? My claim is, let's say that, do you agree that A to the 2A is equal to A times A?
Yes.
No, it shouldn't, okay? Because I don't believe that either.
Oh. Sorry, excuse me.
Okay, does everybody believe that?
Yeah.
Does everybody believe that A to the 2N plus 1 is equal to A times A to the N, A to the N?
Yes.
Okay. Now notice though, I only have to, once I compute this, which might be expensive, another way to write this is A times A to the N squared. Right? Now I'm only computing A to the N once, okay? Which means that the amount of work I do is 1, 2, 3 multiplications, plus the time to compute half as large a number, right? A to the 2N, now I'm computing A to the N. I cut my problem in half by doing 3 multiplications, right? So how many times can I cut the number in half till I'm down to 1? A logarithmic number, right? So that's why it's log n. Okay? Any other tricks we might be able to use if they're really being dirty here?
Then you're modding it. You're modding x by n and you're modding r by n.
Well, that's because I'm only interested in the remainder. Mod a or mod n. Okay? I only want the answer mod n. And I've noticed that if all I want at the end is x times y mod m, it's a truism that that is going to be x mod m times y mod m mod m.
Multiply the mods, find s mod, multiply.
Right. So x to the n, so basically to find the residue of this large number times this large number mod n, I could just take the residue of the first number mod n, which is a small number, this number a small number. My problem reduces to multiplying two small numbers. Okay? These are all I'm interested in. This is change, the residue mod n.
Yes? Yes. That problem A, you said, was Carmichael, correct?
Right? A is not, well, saying that n is not a Carmichael number.
So how do you find what x and y is and calculate that?
Well, this is a proof that if it's a, if x is, that if A is equal to x times y, meaning if A is composite. Well, or you could say that if I'm looking for the smallest example, let's say that I'm looking for the, let's say that I'm looking for the, you know, a person that has the answer. And several people here might have the answer, okay? But I'm told that the first person in line with the answer is a woman, okay? Some men may have the answer, but the smallest person in line is a woman. Do I have to, if I want to get the answer, do I have to ask any men? No. Okay. Basically, I can keep asking women, okay, until I find one that has the answer. Okay. And that's basically what this is saying. And here's a little bit different. Here it's saying that if all the women have the answer, maybe it's a Carmichael, okay. Be precise, I mean, my metaphor may be getting a little confused now. Okay? But basically, it says that if there is somebody who can prove that N is not a Carmichael number, the first person to prove that N is not a Carmichael number will be a prime. Okay? So I only have to ask the price. That's the interesting thing here. Okay? Any questions here? Okay? So this is potentially cute. Any other somewhat dirty things that these Spaniards might be doing other to make your program run slow? Yeah? Why 65,000 is a little
bit?
Yeah. Right? A 32-bit integer, right? Basically, that's what he's saying here. In order to try to help you, let you fit within a 32-bit integer. Okay? A 60, you have to multiply something by multiply something. To stay within 32 bits, the other one had to stay within 16 bits, right? That's basically what you're saying. Okay, where else might they be trying to slow you down?
The only thing that scared me from what you said, if what you were saying is true, that just sort of basically cheating and answering their questions in constant time, they nailed you. What would be the... it maybe they're asking you a tremendous number of questions. What's the maximum number of interesting questions you can be asked?
65,000. Well, minus 2 or 3.
So if they were doing something really dirty, like asking you questions over and over and over again, how might you solve that problem? No, because I wouldn't sort the input.
Okay, but what might I do? What?
Yeah, so the other trick that if they're really being dirty about this might be to store up the answers once they have it.
So once you give an answer, store it in an array. Okay, have a
let's say, three-way flag saying the answer is yes, no, or unknown. And initially everyone is unknown.
It could be that once you you know the answer, you set the table to what the value is, yes or no. Okay? Does everybody believe that might do something? They're doing something dirty.
That didn't have to give you a heck of a lot of information for that to actually make a difference.
The question is, let's put it this way. If you can solve this problem, find all the Carmichael numbers less than 65,000.
In 10 seconds, then the only way they could make you suffer is by asking you questions again and again and again, right?
So once you're convinced you can answer this for all values quickly, okay?
So I think that this gives us some tool to possibly do it, right? Okay, at least some hope to do it better. We compute the primes, and we only play around with the primes, okay?
Any questions here? And to make sure we don't actually test the primes themselves. We don't test the... Well, actually, well, what is it that we want to say?
You only test the Carmichael. First, you check whether he is a prime.
Yes.
And then you check just the primes, which is why it was a double thing for me to store all my primes.
I see. So I sort of agree if they to compute and store the primes.
Right.
Okay. So basically, once we know that it's prime, then we that n is not prime, then we only test the a's that are the primes that are less than it, a to the n for that, right?
So you recommend having starting off with an array of prime numbers, so to speak.
That's what I think I start with. Right?
Let's also see if there's any other cute things we might be able to determine. What if n is not prime? Actually. If you know more, if you get into numbers, there might be even fancier things you can try to do.
Okay, I don't really think I want to get into this now. But what if, let's say, we wanted to compute a to the n, where n is not a prime, right? We know n is not a prime here, right? If n is not a prime, and we know a is a prime, is there anything we can do about this?
Can you repeat that again?
Suppose, let's say, we know that A is a prime. N is a prime. And N is not a prime. Okay? Remember, you if N was a prime, you wouldn't be computing this to begin with, right? Because you already tested if N was a prime beforehand. Suppose N is equal to X times Y. Okay? Is there any way that we can simplify this computation? Certainly this would be equal to A to the X times Y, A to the X mod X, Y times A to the Y mod XY. Okay?
No, this means how much work there is involved in this
yeah.
whole problem.
Isn't that what we were doing before, though, with the original?
Okay, there's something, I don't want to go into this right now, but because I think we're getting caught up on these problems here. You read in the book about something called the Chinese remainder theorem. I don't know if any of you got to that or something like that. It's more advanced number theory. Okay? But and this is probably not necessary for this problem. But that gives you a tool to work with prime moduli, where you factor the moduli. It would be nice if somehow we could reduce this problem to something mod X and something mod Y. Okay, does everybody sort of agree with that? And potentially the Chinese remainder theorem gives you a tool for that kind of thing. Okay, if we look at the book.
Again, it's probably not what you need now. But if you look at page, where do I mention this thing?
155.
What, 155? Yeah, I talk about the Chinese remainder theorem, and it tells you a way to factor numbers into a system of moduli. Okay? So someone who's a real number theory hack would probably figure out something to do with that. Okay? But we're right now not number theory hacks. Number theory, okay. We agree with that. Although we did figure something out that's kind of interesting. Any questions? Okay?
So my recommendation for you is as follows.
Try to use an idea like this. Let me know if it works.
Try to, if they're doing something dirty and repeating the results many times, store it. If that doesn't work, cheat and just give them the answer. Recalculate everything and give them the answer.
So the one thing I do is trying to try it, is I'm going to write the cheat. I have the cheat program right for Java.
Yeah.
I write the same thing in C compare, what kind of C we're trying to do.
Yeah, I'm a little curious about this. If you send me a mail, a hospital about this, I will forward this to my Spaniard.
Yeah,
so.
I don't know if that's
because I think it's a I know they get very upset with people sending in tabled solutions. But on the other hand, but let's try this and see if this approach works. Okay, yeah.
How many Carmichael numbers are there? I mean, that seems to be an awful big array.
No,
I mean,
he's saying that there's only 15 Carmichael numbers.
15 Carmichael numbers?
Wow. The number of primes is relatively... How many primes are there less than N?
N over log N, right?
Right. About
4, so there's only 4,000 primes less than N. Okay? And if there's going to be a counterexample, it's going to be one of them. Okay? And, so that might be a faster way to do these kind of testing. Plus, if you were doing something silly about computing A to the N, then that would solve this problem. Okay? Any questions? Okay?
Fair enough. Okay. So I think there is now hope for doing this problem. Does everybody agree that there is now hope for doing this problem? And if not, you can salvage something by cheating completely, right? Does everybody agree with that? Okay, but try to do it honestly before you hope. I think we've learned something by talking about it. Okay, any questions? Okay. So,
and just for everybody's sake, I promised everybody a B for getting one per week that I mean now. So don't worry. I understand these problems are taking, we're seeing that these problems are...
you know, require some, you know, some time and some effort and stuff like that. So that's why I did that. So don't panic, but give it an honest try. Okay, what about the next problem? Okay, which is the next one? What was that? Factovisors. Okay, so any ideas on how we do the factovisors? Okay, what is our problem again?
The problem is we would like to compute, let's get rid of this, I guess. We would like to compute, basically, does A divide N factorial? Right? That's the question. And the big problem that we seem to have, what's wrong with the dumb, what's wrong with actually just computing N factorial?
It's very big.
It's very big, very fast, okay? So how do we decide if A divides N factorial? And how big is A and how big is N?
They're both less than 2 to 31.
So A is a real integer. It's somehow a substantial integer. A is 2 to the 31, okay? So we can't play games with doing too much multiplication here, is what I'm here saying here. Any ideas how you might do this? Yeah?
What I've done is, the first thing I do is the second number, is I factor it out into its primary.
Which number? This number?
Yeah.
So you want to factor. Wait, which number?
Is that the one that gets.
I have A and N factorial. I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. No. I factor A.
Factor A.
Into its prime factorization.
So you find the prime factorization of A. A equals P1, P2, ... to some power, right?
Right.
And what do you now do? Okay?
And then you know that. For one thing, it's pretty obvious. If any of those powers are bigger than n, then you already know it's impossible.
Right. So if the largest prime in the prime factorization is greater than n, we agree you're in trouble, right? Does everybody agree with that? Because there's no way 17 can be in 15, divide 15 factorial. Everybody see why, or any questions about that? Okay. It's because, by definition, if 17 is a prime, 17 cannot be written as the form A times B, right? It can only be written as 1 times 17. So if we're multiplying numbers that are smaller than 17, how can any one of them divide 17? Does everybody see that? Okay, this should be a sort of, if not, it's important. Okay? So that's fair enough. So what is left here that's interesting? So now you've got this, now what are you going to do?
Like even more than that, then what you can do is go, okay, when I take mine out, I have them sorted. So I have my prime in sorted order. Then I can do, okay, well, does P1... Basically, what I do is I go through the primes that are like kernels. So say I have 5 cubes.
Yeah.
Then I say, okay, well, can I get 5 cubes out of n factorial? And the way you can do that is go, okay, well, there's going to be 1 and 2. There's going to be at least 1 and 4. There's going to be 1 and 6. And up to, and as long as that number is less than n, then you know for sure that those set of primes will fall in there.
So what you're saying, I think, is that what you want to find out is under what conditions does A divide N factorial? What is the conditions that we need for this? If we have this prime factorization representation of A, how can we test if A divides N factorial? Okay.
So it's like, first, if P1 and P2 and P3, you go up to P4, and those are all 2s, and then P5 is the 2s, and 3, say.
Yeah.
So I go, okay, well, I have 4 2s. If N is 8, then I know, the 2s are okay.
So you would be saying one possibility would be to say, And let's say the smallest factor prime was 2. You know that this exponent was 8. So long as there are 8 2's in n factorial, then you know this is not going to be a problem for you. How do you compute how many 2's are in n factorial?
That's where I'm at right now. The naive way, which I tried at first, and I made an error, is I said, oh, I can just add the 2's together. I go 2, 4, 6, 8, and I get, you know, I'll end up with 16. So as long as n is, you know, 16, then I've got 8 2's. The thing that it misses is there are factors like 4, which are going to
say have 2 2's.
So how many 2's, 2 to the x, what is the value of 2 to the x that it divides 5 factorial?
Okay, let's think about that. Why is it 3? It's because you've got 1 times 2 times 3 times 4, where 4 is 2 times 2, times 5, right? So we agree that one thing that would be interesting is for a given prime, one way to do this would be to figure out for a given prime, how many times does p to the k, what k is it such a p to the k divides n factorial? Okay, and any ideas how we can figure that out? Yeah? Okay, so let's think about it. How many times does p, where do we get the multiples of p from? Okay, yeah. What are the terms of n factorial? Where are we going to get our p from? So, the dot, 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 here's n factorial. We agree that's equal to 1 times 2, dot, 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 times p, dot, 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 times 2p, dot, 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 times 3p, okay, dot, dot, dot. Suppose the number is less than p to the p, than p squared. Okay, how would we figure out how many, how many multiples of p are there less than n? First question. Something like n over p, right? Does everybody agree with that? How many multiples of p are there? It's something like that.
What does that mean?
This is the floor. We chop off the fractional part.
Oh.
It's an integer division.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Does everyone agree with this? That the number of multiples is something like n over p. You don't see it, say, like, I don't see it. But does that solve the problem? Not quite. Why not? You also have to count for...
Yeah, if it is less than p squared, then you're getting an extra p in there somewhere, where you're dot, 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 3p.
So how many extra p's do we get from the p squared, 2p squared, 3p squared? We have to count this extra p, right?
Which is n divided by p squared.
I play with something then, it's something like that, plus n over p squared. Okay? Why? Let's think about it. How many multiples are there? Let's consider. Let's take a look at how many times does 2 divide 6? Let's try. How many times does 2 to the k divide 10 factorial? Let's think about that. Okay?
That's going to be equal to what? We agree that's 1 times 2 times 3 times 4 times 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. How many multiples of 2 are there? Of multiples of 2, there are 5, right? We get 1 here. How many multiples of 2 squared are there?
Two.
Is that the number of multiples of 2? And we've also got 1 of 2 cubed, right? How many multiples of 2 to the 4th do we have?
None.
None. Okay? So does everybody see that this, it's going to look something like the sum of n over p to the I as I goes from 1 to something like logish of n
raised to p or something like that.
Okay? And that's all that we need to do to compute how many times this prime will be an n factorial. Okay? And so I claim by this kind of an argument, you should be able to do that computation. Okay? Does everybody sort of see that? If not, a question that just frustrated people who have confused students. Any questions? What? You understand why the number of p's in n factorial is the sum, right? No. You understand why you got this? Well, what is this? This is n over 2 plus n over 4 plus n over 8. You understood this part, you understand this part, right? Any questions? Okay. So this provides a fairly clever way to do it, okay? We do the prime factorization of this, and then for each one of these guys, test to see whether or not it is in there, okay? And just by doing counting. What would be a less clever but maybe easier program way to do this? Okay? Let's think about that. I'm not sure if it's easier to program or not. Okay, but let's say we weren't so clever to start out with. Okay? Suppose, let's forget about counting. We agree that once I have the prime factorization of A, that's a useful thing. How can I compute the relevant prime factorization of N factorial? Okay?
Factor each of the components.
What are the components of each of the components of this?
Yeah, n minus 1, n minus 2, so on and so forth.
Right, so what if I factored 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, dot, 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 up to n? You already have the factoring routine because you had to do it here, right? Now what do you do with those factors?
See whether A is a subset of n or the n.
See whether this is a subset of these, right? You agree? What might be the easiest way to do that? Okay, compute the prime factorization of 2. 2 times 1. What do I do? I have the prime factorization of A here. What? Well, I'm going to go through, he agrees that we'll factor each one of these. 3 times 1, 2 times 2, 2 to the 2, 5 is 5, 6 is 2 times 3.
Well, I take all of those and put them in an array and sort.
So one possibility is to put them all in an array and sort them. To count how many each of these things there are, right? So you either sort them or count them by some other means. And then tell whether or not the counts of the relevant numbers are greater than what you have here. Right? Does everybody agree that if the prime factorization of n factorial, if every one of the prime factors that occur at A, there's at least as many copies of that in n factorial, then in fact it divides. Okay, does everybody see that? Well, let's take a look at this thing. What do I want to know? I want to now know if, let's pick a good one. Let's say is 15, does 15 divide 6 factorial? Okay. What is the prime factorization of 6 factorial? I want to claim that it is equal to 2 times 3 times 2 to the 2. Why 2 to the 2? Because that's the prime factorization of 4. What's the prime factorization of 5? What's the prime factorization of
2 times 3?
Now suppose I sort and count. What is the prime factorization of 6 factorial? How many 2's does it have? 1, 2, 3, 4. Times how many 3's does it have?
2.
Times how many 5's does it have?
1.
Does this divide 15? What is the prime factorization of 15? 3 times 5. Does it divide it?
Yeah.
Why is it? Because 1 is less than 2, and 1 is less than or equal to 1, right? That is why it works. Okay? So I claim I can compute the prime factorization of these numbers. The prime factorization, notice, even though the product is very large, none of the numbers are going to be that large, right? None of the numbers are going to be larger than n themselves, right? So I claim this gives me a way to do it without playing games with the arithmetic. Any questions? Yeah. This is basically right. This is the prime factorization of, right, you know, sort of 1. It's the product of the prime factorizations of 1 through n. Okay? It doesn't matter if I count start from 0 or 1. They're both 1s. No problem. Okay? Any questions about that? Okay? So this I want to claim looks very doable to me. Okay? Any questions about that? Okay?
What's the time?
Any questions about these two? We've got a small number of minutes left. So, you know, I can decide if we can talk about some other problems or we can make sure we nail down these two. I want people to get these two, okay? These are doable now. Any questions about that? Either one of the problems. Yeah?
Are we able to show the other one, the first method, with the numbers?
The first method. Okay, I see. So you want to say, how do I know if... the other way to do it. How would I have done with 15 factorial? How would I tell whether 15 divides 6 factorial? Okay, the other way to do it is to notice that 15 was equal to 3 to the 1 times 5 to the 1. Right? So my question is, what is the value of 3 to the... What is the value of k, 1? So to 3 to the k, 1 divides 6 factorial. My claim is that that's going to be the floor of 6 over 3 plus the floor of 6 over 3 squared, dot, 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 by the floor, right? What's the floor of 6 over 3? 6 over 3 is what?
2.
What's the floor of 6 over 9. Anything else is also going to be 0. This tells me there's going to be 2 3s in the prime factorization of this thing. Everybody agree with that? Okay. So what does that mean? Is 2 a bigger number than the one that you have here? Then 3s are okay, right? And what about for the 5s? A similar argument for the 5s.
I'll have you to do with anyone.
Objective 2 is bigger than 1. The 1 is from here. Right? This tells me how many 3s there are in 6 factorial. This tells me how many 3s I need. Okay, I need at least 1. You tell me I have 2, therefore I have at least 1.
And you keep checking until the floor is 0.
Yeah, once it's 0, it's going to keep being 0 for larger and larger power, right?
That's clever.
That's what that's our business. Okay? Yes. Yeah. 6 over 3 to the power 2 is how many powers of how many multiples of 9 are there? The point is that once we get a multiple of 9, we get an extra factor of 3, right? Prime factor of 3 comes up. Does everybody agree with that? That's why we have these other terms. So we can either build them in the dumb way, by explicit way in sorting, or we can be clever enough to count them without building them. Okay, probably either method will work. Okay? Well, what's the 5? How many, what is the floor of 6 over 5? What's the floor of 6 over 5 of 5 squared? I have 1 5 in this. Fortunately, that's all that I was needed, right? Does 25 divide 6 factorial?
No.
No, and why not?
Because it's
2 5s, right?
2 5s, right.
Okay.
You would only have to find one set of that
you have to go for any integer A, we need to find its prime factorization, of which there is only one of them. One prime factorization. There's a unique prime factorization for every integer, right? That is the fundamental theorem of arithmetic. Okay? That every integer can be uniquely written as a product of primes. Notice that the only reason, a lot of this is working because we've broken it into primes. Certainly primes make it convenient. Okay? But, that's basically what we're saying. There's a unique way to break it into primes. Once we've broken it into primes, our problem reduces to, are there enough copies of each of these primes so that it will divide? Okay? Any questions here? Okay,
so I think that solves those two problems, right? And hopefully you guys can make, if not short work of it, because maybe it wasn't short work, but short enough work of it to finish those two up.
Any questions? Did anyone look at the other two? Yeah, any questions or comments about those? Or
any of them that seemed interesting or easy?
Repackaging seems possible. Basically an application of linear algebra, although the limitation of using only integers makes it a little interesting to try to implement.
Right. So repackaging is probably conceptually, I would say, right now we don't really have enough time to, I think, go through a theory for this. But basically what you really want to know is you're
given a collection of cups, and you want to now know, does there be given an A1, B1, C1, an A2, C2, and you're given a target, and not a target, you want to know, does there exist a vector of numbers, C1, C2, integers, times this, such that the dot product with the vectors will leave everybody the same. Right? That's basically what you're asking. So one way to do it would be to do it with a, you think about it conceptually with linear algebra. But what is the problem? Okay, if we force, for it to work, we need the number of cups to be, of copies of each package we buy to be an integer. Okay, and that makes it much stickier. You cannot just do your Gaussian, you know, Gaussian most of it. Okay? Any questions? You guys should solve a linear system of equations. Remember Gauss, Jordan, Temple, Gaussian combinations?
Yes, yes.
That kind of stuff. Okay? High school stuff, way forgotten. Okay? Any questions? But it's still, that doesn't mean it still doesn't work. But it doesn't work for this problem. Okay? And this, I believe, is probably going to involve some more advanced concepts like congruences and Diophantine equations, some of the stuff at the back of the chapter. Okay? But get these first two problems, okay? And we'll deal with it then. Okay? Any questions? Thanks for your attention. I'll talk to you then.
For the first one, do you recommend the very first thing you do, you find